The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Hand off Devin Neal at the 5, still on his feet. He dives to the end zone. He's in.
Boom!
Touchdown, Kansas. Devin Neal delivers, and the Jayhawks storm back to take the lead with 55 seconds to go.
And Morris looks left. He fires it to Concepcion. Breaks the tackle, 35-40, 45-50. He's on his way down the left side, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Wolfpack. 73 yards on the catch and run.
NC State, they're waiting for basketball to start.
Yeah.
Tell Steve Smith in the studio, this ain't a basketball school. He can kiss my...
Well, we asked the question last week, who should be on upset alert? The answer, Oklahoma. Following the Kansas rather upset, such as the one you just heard, North Carolina State defeating Clemson, but... Wow, what a weekend. Another week where we remove undefeated teams heading into the first edition of the 2023 College Football Playoff poll. By the way, the first win for Kansas over Oklahoma since 1997.
It was a monumental upset. Why? Because Kansas is a basketball school. Oh,
easy now.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Easy now.
Yeah, golly. Isn't Clemson bad? Isn't that what Dabo Swinney said this past week? So is that really an upset?
He said a lot more, too, which we'll get into in just a minute.
All right.
But it's a very emotional week for a lot of teams, and we'll get into that very soon. But first, we got to talk about that first poll. It came out earlier, and the committee liked Ohio State as the top team. Surprised? Well, only if you're a devoted believer in what the AP poll says. The voters in that group have put Georgia number one every week since last season, but the committee saw Georgia at number two. Michigan 3, Florida State 4. There was concern among media members after the announcement of the poll about the accusations of Michigan and possible sign stealing. But CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock stated the issue is currently not part of the process.
Michigan's played well all season. Fact of the matter is no one knows what happened. We're dealing right now, the NCAA is dealing right now with allegations only. Committee makes its judgments based on what happened on the field, and clearly Michigan has been a dominant team.
As usual, we've got some media members playing judge and jury here. There has been no announcement by the NCAA regarding this. I know they're investigating it. Michigan has said so, but everybody seems to think, well, Michigan shouldn't be in the poll because they're cheating.
Yeah, that's hypothetical, and Hancock had the right answer. They don't need to look into that. Let's pick the best teams. Let's put them in order. Those things will play out. And the question I have is, do they really think that Ohio State is number one, or is that best on the resume? Because they have the best wins, two top 15 wins.
Do you think they're the number one team?
No, I don't. I don't think they're the best team, and I would pick the best teams. But Michigan's played nobody's. Georgia's schedule really hasn't been very good either.
But it's about to pick up, which we'll get into later. Well, after last week's loss to North Carolina State, the Clemson Tigers are sitting 4-4, going nowhere fast as far as the national or conference championship is concerned. That's a first for Dabo Swinney this early in the season since he took over in 2008. As you might expect, the natives are restless, and on Monday, Swinney took a call on his weekly show from a concerned fan who questioned Swinney's value as it pertains to his $11 million salary. He gave his answer and pointed back at the fans.
You make $11.5 million a year. That's second in college football. I'm curious why that salary has led to a 4-4. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, just being a couple plays away from undefeated and all that. Something changed after 2018. There seems to be a lot of arrogance that came in. Why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year. It's been, you know, just the refusal to accept.
All right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you, Tyler. Listen, you can have all your opinions that you want. All right. I don't know how old you are. Don't really care. All right. But let me tell you something. We won 11 games last year. And you're part of the problem. to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that do that. All you do is the appreciation. The expectation is greater than the appreciation. Mm. We've won 12 10-plus win year, seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. So if you want to know why, Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won two in 7 years. And there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama. Is this a bad year? Is this a – yeah. And it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want, and you can apply for the job. But to answer your question, all right, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins. Again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. There's a lot of teams that, you know, Frank Howard never had a bad year. Coach Ford never had a bad year. Nobody's – Coach K has never had a bad year in basketball. We've won so much. Now, even when you win, people like you complain. All right, when I hired Tony Elliott to be the offensive coordinator who never called a play in his life, I'm sure you were critical then. All right, and he took us to two national championships. I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions. I started as the lowest paid coach in this freaking business. All right, and I'm where I am – because I've worked my ass off every single day. And I ain't going to let some smart-ass kid get on this phone and create this stuff. So if you got a problem with that, I don't care.
The Tigers face another tough test this week against Notre Dame. But it's obvious Dabo is not happy with some of the backlash he's receiving.
No, he's deflecting. Yes, I think so. But is he accurate in what he said? I think so, yes. It's just college football. And it is, what have you done for me lately? And 4-4 is not up to the standard which he set. So I have no problem with his response. I think he knows more about football than a radio caller.
I would point out the caller, though, probably represents a lot of fans for Clemson who, that quite frankly, they're spoiled.
Yeah, of course. All these fan bases, he mentioned Georgia and Alabama in that clip. Right now, they're spoiled. And it doesn't last forever. I don't know that it's going to come back or it's going to go away forever either. They're just in a tough spot right now.
They're not where they're used to, at least in the last several years. Is Saturday the end of another great rivalry? As of now, yes. The Oklahoma Sooners travel to Stillwater to face in-state rival Oklahoma State for what could be the final chapter of Bedlam, a series that has really picked up steam in the last several years, although the Cowboys have just one win in the last eight meetings. Since the announcement 3 years ago that Oklahoma and Texas were to join the Southeastern Conference, there have been a few words exchanged between the two schools, most notably from Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy, who got in one more salvo before the final scrimmage on Saturday.
Bosworth spit in my face. I spit in his face. I mean, it was actually a rivalry, right? Like the summer of my before my sophomore year, you know, I would go to parties in Oklahoma City and they would say, well, Bosworth and Migliozzo and some of those guys were here. And so I had to make a decision whether were we going to have confrontation there and who was with me. Because, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, those guys, you know, I can kick them in the shin and run like hell. But you know, I mean, I'm not dumb. So we had to make those decisions because, I mean, what kind of a frame of mind was Brian going to be in on that point? I don't know. You know, had he taken a vitamin C and had a few drinks, well, he might not be a guy you want to talk to at that point. You know, he'd get real red and cross his face. So there, it was a rivalry then. Now it's not as much anymore, unfortunately, because of the way it is. But it's a very important game.
Of course, he's talking about a time back in the late 80s, early 90s, when those two were actually facing one another. I disagree with him. I think this has been a pretty big rivalry, or else he wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, I don't understand that shift. Maybe it's sour grapes because they're leaving the conference, just kind of like Texas and Texas A&M, which are going to be playing again all of a sudden. Maybe we could wait for that to happen. If they don't play, when Oklahoma State decides they want to come to the SEC and there's only two conferences when you and I are old and gray, well, we're almost there.
I was going to say.
But if not, we can get Boz and Gundy in a spitting contest. Maybe we'll see who can win that.
That might be an interesting thing. No, it wouldn't be fun
just
to
like
watch.
Old
Never
times.
Mind. I'm not going to say that. Well, at the moment, the Washington Huskies are sitting pretty, leading the Pac-12. A number five ranking in the new rankings that came out this week and enjoying an 8-0 record for just the sixth time in school history. This Saturday, the Huskies face USC at the LA Coliseum for the first time since 2015. The Trojans have been a bit of a thorn in Washington's side over the years, knocking them from the ranks of the unbeatens three times. But Coach Kalen DeBoer isn't interested in the past.
I think back to the places I've been, and there's this history, and, you know, especially when it's your alma mater or your hometown team, I mean, you're in it for more than just 2 or 3 or 4 years. You know, you're in it for decades. And so I get that piece, but this is about the 2023 team. Really, nothing from last year matters other than the lessons that we take from last year. And it definitely going back before last year doesn't mean a lot. Doesn't mean that, hey, we want to make amends for what has happened in the past. Sure, yeah, we love to, you know, our alumni that set the stage for us to do what we have and the tradition we have as well. But for us, this is about the 2023 Huskies and us just being in the moment right now and having a big game against a very good football team in USC.
The moment, as he's talking about, has USC reeling right now. They're not playing as well as they were early on. And Washington has been struggling as well. In fact, there are those who are saying Oregon's still the best team in that league.
Yeah, but they beat them head-to-head. USC has won 10-14 in the series, and thank goodness Caleb Williams didn't quit when the team lost its second game and pretty much eliminated themselves from the national championship and himself, I guess, from the Heisman race.
I'll have to say, I'm glad he hung around.
Good for him.
It's Missouri's turn to see if it can knock off the defending champs. The Tigers venture to Athens on Saturday, sights set on handing the Bulldogs their first loss in 26 games. Missouri might just have the weapons to do it, with quarterback Brady Cook and receiver Luther Burden III among the top passing duos in the country. But the Georgia Bulldogs have seen it all before and may have too much talent to overcome. Do the 12th-ranked Tigers have an answer if Georgia's defense finds a way to limit the duo? Ben Arnett of KOMU Television gives his insight.
Well, it depends on if they can stay balanced overall. You know, Georgia doesn't have to stack the box to stop the run. They're so talented up front. You know, they can drop people back and not really lose anything in their run defense. They've also got a couple of really good young receivers in Daniel Blood and Marquise Johnson who have been excellent downfield for them this season. So they've got more than just Burden in the passing game. Can they balance it overall? Could be a key in this one.
Next test for Georgia, they've got several big games coming up, but Missouri might bring the best offense to Athens that the Bulldogs may see here the remainder of the season.
And this might be, I guess, based on paper, their toughest game so far, right? And with still some tough ones to come. And remember last year, I know it was last year, but that was their toughest game in the regular season. They were down in the fourth quarter, outscored the Tigers 14-3 to pull out a win on the road. Right now, Eli Drinkwitz is the coach of the year in the SEC. If he can win this game, he might elevate himself to the top of the national list.
It would definitely put them over the top, and they would be the favorite at that point to win the East. Well, a year ago, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels had a big day against the Alabama Crimson Tide, leading the Tigers to an overtime win. He's continued solid play in 2023, leading the nation in several offensive categories, including total offense and passing touchdowns. Does the Crimson Tide, under new defensive coordinator Kevin Steele, have an answer for the top Heisman candidate when the two tangle in Tuscaloosa Saturday night? Well, former coach Max Howell has a pretty good thought on how the Tide will match Daniels in LSU.
Yeah, they'll put a spy on him. He does best when he, you know, rolls out to the corner. And I think Alabama's going to try to rough him up a little bit as well, because he's not a big physical kid. You know, he's not like Milroe. Milroe's 225, 30 pounds. He'd take a beating. Now, I'm not saying he's frail, but he's worth 200 pounds, 205, something like that.
The question remains, you think LSU's going to get their points. Can Alabama keep up?
Well, in conference play, Alabama's tops in scoring defense, LSU's tops in scoring offense. I think it might be on the flip side, though. What is LSU's defense being banged up and being a team that struggled some in stopping teams going to do against Alabama, which has struggled some and not what we're accustomed to with the offenses of old?
And one more thing. You heard it earlier. Ohio State is the first team on top in the race for the 2023 college football playoff title. The Buckeyes were awarded the number one ranking first time since 2019 and the first time to start the season, the CFP season, ranked as number one. It is the fourth time overall to hold the top spot. The Buckeyes are one of two teams that have been included in every poll since its inception, since 2014. The other is Alabama, which earned a number 8 ranking this week. That, by the way, is the lowest start for the Crimson Tide ever in the poll. Previously, they'd been number 6 twice last year and the first poll in 2014. The ranking knocked Georgia from the top spot for the first time since the initial poll of 22. The Bulldogs were number 1 for 5 of 6 weeks last year and 5 of 6 weeks in 21. Since the poll began, a total of 7 teams have held the number 1 spot through its entirety, although many of those teams' stay were short-lived. Last year, Tennessee became the 7th team and held the top spot for 1 week. The same held true for the first number 1 ever, Mississippi State, which lasted 3 weeks at number 1 before being knocked off by Alabama. The others, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and LSU, all have had multiple weeks at the top position. So hold on to your hats. It's probably going to be a bumpy ride. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we go to Happy Valley, where the Penn State Nittany Lions avoided an upset with this 57-yard pass from Drew Aller to Keandre Lambert-Smith to take the lead in the final minute to beat Indiana. Steve Jones with a call on the Penn State Network.
Blitz coming. Aller goes back, loads it up long and deep, far sideline. Lambert-Smith makes the catch at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Penn State! The Nittany Lions take the lead.
Remember, for the tailgate 10 of the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, get the best gear from the top brands, all at the prices you'll love. And now, shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find the widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
The Lindy's Football Report.
How about those Kansas Jayhawks? Here's Michael Butler.
Why was Saturday's 38-33 win by Kansas over Oklahoma so big? History. To say the series has been one-sided is an understatement. I won't bring up the basketball school stuff. Oklahoma had won 18 straight over the Jayhawks, and it was the first home win by Kansas against the Sooners since 1984. The first game between the two was played in 1903 and won by Kansas. In fact, the first 8 games in the series were won by the school known for Naismith. All right, I did it. Kansas reached bowl eligibility with its 6th victory, a feat it hit last year too, but the program finished 6-7. The Jayhawks have not had a winning season on the football field in 15 years. That year was 2008. The record was 8-5. The coach, Mark Mangino. Kansas had its best season ever a year before, going 12-1 under Mangino. They even won in the Orange Bowl, finishing 7th in the AP poll. Last week's victory also shifted the talk of the departing Big 12 members Oklahoma and Texas for a moment. Now, the Big 12 has a 5-way tie for first place.
Time to bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Our first poll comes out. What do you think?
I wasn't very surprised by it. I mean, I don't know that I'd have had them in that order, but they're, you know, your top five teams are the five teams that ought to be the top five teams. Now, what, you know, what order you'd put them in is another matter. Ohio State, to their credit, you know, when they beat Notre Dame and when they beat Penn State, both of those were top 10 teams. So I think they're the only team that's already beaten two top 10 teams. So if you look at that, then that's a way you could justify Ohio State being up there. You know, Georgia's only, the Auburn game is the only game Georgia's had when their winning margin was less than double digits. I mean, so that's, you know, that's pretty strong. You know, for Florida State right now might have the best looking team in the country. But one that I would comment on is that the Washington being 5 and Oregon 6, I think that's what it'll be because Washington won that ball game. But I still go back and question the call that the Oregon coach made at midfield with about a minute and a half, minute 45 left in the game, choosing to go for it when they had just failed to make it in their last fourth down and therefore gave the ball to Washington in Oregon territory. If that's not the case, you might have them flipped and Oregon might be undefeated right now and Washington one loss. But I really didn't have an argument with the way they ranked it.
All right. Let's talk also about Dabo Swinney kind of going after a caller on his call-in show the other day.
Yeah, I heard that, and that's been big news. I know you and I were talking off the air. You know, I think the part that's about salaries, I think most everybody that's a fan of college sports would agree that salaries are too high. And Dabo's kind of thin-skinned sometime. You know, I kind of agreed with the things Dabo was saying in general about fan commentary and viewpoints and all. I would just say that he might have made a better decision not to be saying that in public in that forum. Maybe coaches would be wise to speak privately instead of publicly on some of the things that they think. It would have eliminated all the criticism.
Well, let's pick some games. We're kind of limited on time, so we will only have a few to pick. We'll start first with what could be the last time we see Bedlam, at least for a while, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State.
And that's one of the big things I can't go along with on what's happened with all the conference realignment and that type thing. I hate losing traditional rivalries. We've lost too many of them already. I'll take Oklahoma in the ball game. Wouldn't surprise me to see Oklahoma State win it, but I'll take Oklahoma.
Speaking of Dabo, Clemson playing Notre Dame this weekend.
I think all this controversy didn't help Clemson at all. Notre Dame's been a better team. Clemson's underachieved. I think Notre Dame will win the ball game. I think it'll be four consecutive losses for Clemson. I don't know the answer to this, but how long has it been since that happened?
It's been a while. All right, to the West Coast, Washington and Southern Cal.
Yeah, that gets back into what I said about Washington and Oregon. I like Washington to win the game. I think they got a better team overall. But Southern Cal can give them a ball game. I'm going to like Washington to win the game, but it won't surprise me if Southern Cal does beat them, which throws the Pac-12 and the rankings into a tizzy, too.
Georgia is at home against Missouri.
Congratulations to Missouri on how they've done this year. I think Georgia wins the game with or without Brock Bowers.
All right, and then Alabama at home against LSU.
Again, until Alabama proves they're going to lose, I got to take them to win. You know, LSU's got to win this ball game because they've already got the one conference loss. Alabama does not have to win it. You know, I think Alabama win it at home.
And then your upset special.
I went against Iowa State last week. I don't know if we got any Iowa State listeners in the audience. I'm not trying to pick on y'all specifically, but again, I'm going against Iowa State. I'm going to take the Kansas Jayhawks, who beat Oklahoma last week, 2.5 to 3 point underdog at Iowa State. I'll go with Kansas.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.